Welcome to this week's Thrive Church podcast. We hope you're encouraged by this message.
Today I want to do a message where we can just all take a breath. If anyone need to just take a breath, all the busy people go, yeah, that would be good. I know our vision for this year is beyond ourselves and talking about living lives that are bigger and beyond ourselves and making room for more people and room for the purposes of God in our lives. But I just really felt this week to do a message where we can just all take a breath and not feel necessarily super challenged this morning. Is anyone happy that you're not going to get overly challenged? Someone's saying hallelujah. However, with the way I preach, those of you that know my preaching, I can't help but put some challenge in there. So I'm sure that it'll be in there. But I just want to preach something very practical, to be honest, very practical, that I think will be a help to all of you who struggle to cope with the demands of your life. Does anybody feel right now that you are struggling to simply keep up with the demands that are placed upon your life? I'm obviously the only person. You've all got it together. I'm really pleased. So if you're not struggling with your life at any point in time, this sermon will mean nothing to you. But this sermon is for those who feel right now that life is a bit of a burden. So the message title of this sermon is Help, I Can't Cope With My Life. Help, I can't cope with my life. And you and I will always go through seasons and circumstances where it feels like, help, I just can't cope with life. Now, if that is a pattern, then you might need to make some serious changes. But we all go through seasons like that. But I want to ask you a question this morning as we frame this. In fact, a few questions to help you figure out whether you're actually in this place. Do you feel as though life consistently demands more from you than what you're able to give? Do you feel as though there's always something or someone you've got to address? Some issue you've got to sort out? I certainly do. Do you secretly wish you could go and sit on a beach and hide away from the world? Who feels like just getting on a plane tomorrow and flying to some beach in Brazil and just sunbaking for a month? Yeah, maybe not Brazil. Maybe somewhere anyway. And I think there's times for that, but listen, I've done that kind of holiday. I find after about 2 weeks of that kind of holiday, I'm just bored. I've got to get back into it. But there are times where I just wish I could just literally run away from my life, run away from the responsibilities of my life. I'm just being very honest with you. And you know what? Each of you sitting in this room this morning have demands that are being placed on your life that realistically, let's get honest this morning, you have no choice but to meet. There are demands being placed upon your time, upon your energy, upon your finances, upon your relational world, upon your emotion, upon multiple areas of your life. There are demands that life is placing on you right now that you have to meet if you want to function as a normal human being in society. And I've come to realize this, and I know this is basic, but listen, I hate to tell you this, but life is full of demands that are never, ever going to go away. Because we are not God, so therefore we will always have need. We are always going to be in a situation where we either have need or there's something that someone or life requires of us. I mean, let's just take parenting for example. Let's just get very real for anyone in the room who has, I was going to say young children, but I've come to realize that it doesn't get easy at teenager phase as well. And I know Amy and I have lived through, like, once our children get to the next stage, it will get easier. I'm starting to figure out that's a myth. It's a myth. It's probably not going to get easier until they leave home. And even then, I know what I was like when I left home. I was still a demand and a burden on my family. But is it just me, or do you parents in this room feel like the children are a never-ending source of demand? I mean, I would love to do an experiment tomorrow and actually record how many times we hear, Mom, Dad, either can I or can I have all day, every day. All the parents are nodding, going, amen. And so we laugh about that, but here's the truth. All of us have to learn how to navigate the demands of life. And listen, life is all about how you manage and navigate demands in life. It's all about how you navigate that. And it's all about how you handle the demands of life, no matter whether they're small or large. And this is important because if we don't learn how to manage the demands of our lives, we can end up feeling overwhelmed. Feeling overwhelmed, overburdened, even burnt out, wanting to quit. Now, to be very honest and transparent with you and vulnerable, because in this church, we just tell you the truth. We're honest about our lives. This week, I've felt overwhelmed by the demands that are placed upon my life. Just being very honest, I've had a week where the demands upon this calling that I walk in, being a dad, a husband, and all the things that I've had to do this week, I've just felt overwhelmed. Just being very honest with you, I felt like I haven't had enough time to get all that was needed to be done. I constantly feel like I haven't got the skills and ability to pastor a church like this. I'm like, you know how the Bible says God confounds the wise, you know, how does it go? He confounds the wise to use the foolish, something like that. He chooses foolish people to operate his wisdom through, something like that. I'm that guy. It's like God went, who can I find who's the most unqualified, least talented, least idea of having a clue and go, yep, he can lead a couple of hundred people. That's me, all right? So I don't have it all together. So if you're looking for a pastor that has it all together, you won't find him in this church. I felt overwhelmed by all the needs of our community as I look around and see the problems in our community. And as I navigate and lead our church to be a need meter, I think, how on earth are we going to do that? I doubt my ability to be a good dad and to be what my children need me to be and what my wife needs me to be. I honestly tell you that to say because I suspect, just suspect, that there are people sitting in this room this morning that perhaps feel the same way. You feel as though you never measure up. And if you feel like you measure up all the time, that's awesome. But I'm preaching to real people this morning that actually feel as though they don't measure up in life and they can't cope with the demands of their life. You feel exhausted mentally. You feel exhausted emotionally. And perhaps you feel even exhausted socially. You feel overwhelmed by all that's ahead and you wonder how you're going to get all this done this week without relying on 100 cups of coffee a day. Now, okay, disclaimer. Drinking copious coffee as a coping mechanism is actually a valid coping mechanism in my view. I think it's valid and I think there's biblical basis for it because, I mean, God did write a book called Hebrews. That's the mic drop. The reality is you all have a coping mechanism in some area of your life. You judge me for my coffee mechanism, but yours will be something else. But we all have ways to just cope with life. But here's what I've come to realize, well, actually not come to realize, I know is truth. God did not design you and create you just to cope and get through life. That is not the overcoming life that Jesus Christ died to give you. In fact, Romans 8:37, you've read this a million times if you've been in church, says, but in all these things, now if I had time, I would tell you what in all the things that Paul is talking about, but they're difficult circumstances. He says, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors through him. Key phrase, who loved us. We are more than conquerors. Now, let me just teach you a little bit because I'm not going to teach a lot this morning, but I can't help but putting a little bit of Greek teaching in. So just go with me. That phrase, more than conquerors, is actually two very specific Greek words that Paul puts together, okay? So when you look at it, we go, oh, more than conquerors, that sounds nice. But let me just teach you what Paul is actually trying to say. So the word more is the Greek word hooper, and it means more than. It means over, above, beyond, superior, paramount, incomparable, not just any conqueror. So we are a greater conqueror, a superior conqueror, a paramount conqueror. We are unsurpassed conquerors. We are unequaled and unrivaled conquerors through Christ. That's what Jesus is trying to say through the words of Paul. Now the word conqueror is the Greek word nikos. That's where they got the brand Nike, just saying. But this is what conqueror means. It means overcomer, champion, or master prevailing force. Wow. So together, hoop and nikos, when you put those words together, it's actually something amazing that Paul is trying to say to you and I about life. He says, we are an overwhelming conqueror, a paramount victor, an enormous overcomer. Wow. Did you know that about you? That's actually who you are through Christ. Through Christ, who loved us. Now, that being said, you'll go, hey, that's awesome. How many of you feel like you're living that kind of life? One or two of you. I think, that all being said, if that's the truth, and it is the truth about you and I, what God says, why then do we find ourselves struggling to cope with life and just getting through and feeling overwhelmed and just surviving and not thriving? I want to, for the rest of my time, just propose one idea. It'll be four ideas, but really comes back to one idea, that actually a big part of the reason that you and I struggle to cope with the demands of life is actually a lot to do with the subconscious thoughts that we all walk in. Let me teach you some stuff. Carolyn Leaf. Anyone read any Carolyn Leaf stuff? Dr. Carolyn Leaf. incredibly interesting to listen to and read. Now, she's a Christian neuroscientist, and I was reading some things, and she actually teaches this idea of the science of thought. And it's not really an idea. It's actually scientific. It's valid. She talks about that we actually have two minds. You have a conscious mind and a subconscious mind. So you have conscious thoughts. Now, conscious thoughts are only consist of the thoughts that you are intentionally choosing to think. And they only control your actions 5% of the time. That's why a lot of us only go to the gym 5% of the time. Because we're not consciously thinking most of the time we should exercise. Well, that's just me, maybe. But conscious thoughts only contribute to 5% of the way you think and process life. That's very interesting. But subconscious thoughts are the beliefs. It's the whole iceberg analogy, you know, 10% above the water and 90% under. But subconscious thoughts are the beliefs deep within us that are controlling right now how you are reacting and responding to the demands of your life. You are processing everything that happens to you through subconscious thoughts. Now, that's scriptural because Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you are becoming and you are facing and processing life through these subconscious thoughts that you don't even perhaps know exist. That is why two people can have exactly the same circumstance occur and both respond differently. It's often said, you might have heard this, that life is not about what happens to you. It's what you believe about what happened to you. That's why you're never a victim, if we believe Romans 8:37 or 27 or whatever it was. You're never a victim in life. But our subconscious thoughts, now they are controlling your responses to the other 95%. That's kind of challenging, isn't it? So this idea of subconscious thoughts is a deal, and I think it'll help you as you navigate life on processing and responding to life. So that being said, in the remainder of our time, I want to give you four myths about life that perhaps you might have a deep-seated belief about. Now listen, some of these things I'm going to share, you'll be like, duh, I get it. Some of these might be new for you. You might struggle with them on various levels. But I want to present to you four myths that I think we live life with, maybe not consciously, but subconsciously, that are affecting the way we feel. Okay, you ready? So here's the first myth I think we have to get or begun to realize that it is a myth. The first myth is that you can somehow avoid stress. Good luck. I think, in all honesty, we actually deep down believe somewhere, somehow, there's a state in life that you can get to where you're never going to have to deal with any stress in your life or pressure. Stress is a real part of life, and it affects us in very different ways. I mean, there's family stress, relational stress. Anybody got financial stress going on right now? Career stress? There is no such thing as a stress-free life. Sorry to break the bubble. There really isn't. And here's the thing, a newsflash, unless you sell everything and move to some secluded cabin in the wilderness in the mountain with no running electricity and isolate yourself from everybody, you are going to have to navigate stress for the rest of your life. Now, disclaimer, you should minimize unnecessary stress. There are some dramas and stress-related issues that you should navigate and go, I'm going to minimize that. But if you think you can get to some place in life where I'm going to live my life and I'm never going to have any stress, you and I are dreaming. We are going to have to navigate stress in life. Life's difficult for everyone. We all face obstacles, we all face setbacks, and we all miss opportunities. And here's some insight for you, church, to get very real with you again. Pastoring a church is incredibly stressful. It's stressful because any place in work where you're dealing with people, people create stress. God bless them. They are wonderful and they are made in the image of God, but sometimes you are stressful. No one in this room today, of course. But people are stressful. I've become stressful to people. I'm sure of it. But listen, life is stressful. And I know some of you think that being a pastor is all about preaching sermons and drinking coffee. It's not. We're dealing with people's lives. This calling is difficult. This calling is stressful. And sometimes it feels like it would be easy just to run away and avoid every stressful responsibility I have in my life. And you know what? That's the natural response that we have to life. When something stresses you or you feel pressure, your immediate response is, I've got to get out of here. You hear people say, whenever someone puts responsibility on me, I run. Anything to avoid stress is what we do. And I've done that, and we all do that. But listen, I think the answer to this particular conundrum that we go through is not trying to avoid stress. It's increasing your capacity. It's increasing your capacity. Instead of trying to avoid stress, grow bigger. In this church, one of our values, Connect, Grow, Serve, Reach, is about growing big people. We want to grow big people that can cope with the demands of life. How on earth are we going to live lives that are beyond ourselves for the community in our lives if we can't even cope with the life we currently have? That's not said to condemn anyone. That's said to challenge people in a good way. In fact, think about stress. God wants to use stress to grow you. Think about it. You can't grow a muscle without putting stress upon the muscle. Muscles don't grow without stress applied, and you don't grow without stress applied. And your capacity this morning is your ability to handle stress without feeling overwhelmed. And all of us in this room have varying levels of capacity with what we can handle. And it's not about one person having more capacity than the other or one person being better, but it's about letting God take you on a journey of increasing your capacity so He can give you more. We pray prayers like God. We ask God for things, right? We ask God for opportunities. We ask God for a big life. And He goes, okay, so I'm going to put some stress in there and prepare you for it so you can handle what I'm trying to give you. It's like, that's why I was talking to my Thrive group boys on Saturday. We talked about pain. And I said, never ask God to increase your pain threshold. Don't ask that. Don't pray that, because He might just answer it. Stress will grow you if you let Him. Now write this down. This is very good. You will never be increasing in capacity if you are decreasing in confidence. I'll say that again. You will never be increasing in capacity if you are decreasing in confidence. In other words, if you are not growing in your relationship with God, I'm going to propose to you that your ability to cope with the demands of life will be diminished. Confidence doesn't come from ourselves. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 4 to 5 in the Passion Translation, and it won't be up there, I apologize, but I'll just read it. It says, we carry this confidence in our hearts because of our union with Christ before God. In other words, that when you have a union with Jesus, when you're intimate with Him, confidence will be a byproduct. You'll begin to feel face life confidently. Yet we don't see ourselves as capable enough to do anything in our own strength. I love that, the humility of that. For our true confidence, or you could put the word confidence in there, flows from God's empowering presence. The more you develop your relationship with Jesus, the more you sit in His presence daily, the more you listen to His voice, the more you get in His word, the more you build that relationship, I guarantee your capacity will increase. It will come. Well, I find this uncanny thing that God does, that when I sit with God in the morning and I let Him speak to me and He gives me a word, some sort of scenario will come at 11 o'clock or some sort of challenge. And I've often found that morning has already given me provision that I need to face that. But you'll never be increasing in confidence or increasing capacity if you're decreasing in confidence. Amen? All right. Second myth. And this is not a surprise to you, but we actually believe this subconsciously a lot. I can do everything. I can do everything. That's the second myth about life. And you all laugh and go, duh. But you know what? How many people and how many of us are actually just doing too much in life that proves that you actually don't really believe that because of the amount that we do? I think many of the times we feel overwhelmed and burnt out is not because of the demands of life. It's the expectation we put in ourselves to be everything and do everything, to meet every need, to do everything. It's the self-induced pressure and expectation that we're putting on ourselves that's killing us. It really is. It's the false belief that we can presently do all that we are currently doing, that we can work full-time, that we can go to every sporting event, that we can, sorry, I'm not looking at you, Jen, because I know you are a very, very busy person. We think we can serve in church, be a good friend, keep our marriage healthy, spend time with our kids, and somewhere in all of that, find time for God. We can't do it all. We really, really can't. And I'm convinced that the reason you and I and myself are feeling overwhelmed so much in life is that we are simply doing too much. We are simply doing too much. I know I have lived with this, and some of you right now are going around living with a Messiah complex. People with a Messiah complex live their lives that they can do everything and be everything and face every challenge and just do it all. I got some really amazing truth for you and I this morning, and it's not meant to be said in a condescending way, but you're not Jesus. You are not the Messiah. You're not. Colossians 1 says that Christ is holding the universe together. Literally right now, present tense that verse says, He's holding the atoms together. He's literally holding the universe together, and we think it's our job to hold our lives together. It's impossible. You can't do everything. And so the answer to this issue, if you are doing everything this morning, is live your life with focused purpose. Live your life with focused purpose. You know what I think about purpose? I was chatting to someone before church about this. Purpose, when you know your life purpose, it gives you guardrails. You know, guardrails on the road that keep, they're there so the car doesn't go into other lanes. It keeps your track. When you have a strong, clear purpose in God, there are things that you won't do outside those guardrails. You're like, this is my purpose, and anything outside of that purpose, I'm not going to include in my life. That's why when you live with no purpose, you'll end up feeling overwhelmed, particularly in our culture. Purpose helps you shape your priorities and allocate your resources. It's very important. Purpose enables you, this is really good, purpose will enable you to focus on what actually matters rather than what is urgent. That's how Jesus lived. Read the Gospels. He walked, says that in some occasions he healed everybody, other times he walked through the crowd. He didn't always respond to urgent demands. It was like, no, I'm focused on my purpose and I'm going to be fixated on that and I'm not going to let urgency rule my life. I'm going to let purpose shape it. You all know the story of Mary and Martha because I've often said, actually, let me give you a Karen Leaf thing, because when everything is important, nothing is important. But Karen Leaf actually explains, this is helpful to me. She says that multitasking actually damages the brain. I know, for all you women in the room who are actually amazing at multitasking, it's causing your brain damage. I didn't say it, Karen Leaf said it. But anyway, you can't physically focus on more than one task at a time healthily. That's not even a word, and be healthy. But when you switch from one activity to the next rapidly, this is what she says, it results in poor activity in the brain and actually makes you worse at whatever you're actually trying to do. You were actually designed by your creator to focus. You were designed to focus. That's why it's important. Now, we all know the story of Mary and Martha, right? I love that story where Mary and Martha are in the room and Martha's running around doing everything in the kitchen and Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, focusing on the Lord. And the Bible says that Martha is distracted by all that she's doing. That word distracted means pulled in different directions, pulled in every direction. And Jesus says, no, listen, you've got it wrong. Mary has chosen what is best. She says, the one thing that matters is focusing on me, hearing me, meeting with me. That's actually the one thing, church, that we all should be living for. The one thing, focusing on knowing Christ and doing whatever he's called us to do. Amen? That's the one thing. All right, third myth. Are you going okay? Does it feel like you're taking your breath? Is it relaxing or is it a bit challenging? A little bit of both? All right. I promise I'll finish a bit gentle. Here's the third myth, and this is a good one. I can please everyone. Let's get real. One of the biggest stresses in your life right now is because you are trying to please everybody. You're trying to meet everyone's need. And you might resist me on that point, but you might think, no, I'm not doing that. But I want you to have a think about something. Think about all the times that you have responded to people's demands because A, you didn't want to cause offense, or B, you felt guilty for saying no. I know I've done that because we want to please people. I want to say to you this morning, if that is you, your answer to this issue is you must create strong boundaries. Boundary setting is a very, very important skill, a life skill, if we're going to live lives that aren't overwhelmed. Think about it. Let me take you back to the Garden of Eden. What was one of the first things that Adam and Eve did? They stepped over a boundary. There was a boundary that God set. This is your boundary. Don't eat from that tree. And the moment Eve ate of the fruit, stepped over a boundary that God had assigned to her, humanity has been overstepping boundaries with God and with each other ever since. Is that not true? Where does our realm start and where is the boundary finish and start and finish and so forth. And so people with poor boundaries, if you're one of them, you feel compelled to do whatever anyone else expects of you. And the problem with living this way, the problem with it is eventually you're going to have a resentment build up on the inside. And as soon as you start living out of resentment, nothing good comes out of living out of resentment. You can't live out of that all the time. Boundaries are good. So I'm saying to you this morning, learn to say no guilt-free. You do yourself a favor. Learn to say no guilt-free. But I just wrote this down because some of you are thinking, well, we're called to love others and our life is about others. But let me just give you a disclaimer. Being considerate of other people is not the same as being dictated to. by somebody else's expectations. It's not the same. We're called to be considerate, absolutely, loving our brother and sister, but we're not called to be dictated by anyone else's expectation. And I want to say this to you, no one who really loves you will have an agenda for you. No one who really loves you will have any agenda to get something from you. That's manipulation and control. And a lot of relational transactions that occur in this world are manipulative and controlling because somebody wants something from you and therefore they are holding you to an expectation, and it's subtle, church. It's very, very subtle. So the answer to defeat and to overcome the disease to please is focus on pleasing God. Focus on pleasing God. Let me read to you Galatians 1, verse 10 in the NIV. Paul writes this. I love this verse. It's something I go back to a lot. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? Here we go. This is a key verse. If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Listen, sometimes, not all the time, sometimes pleasing God will mean disappointing people. It's just the reality. I've had friendships that have been strained because of my calling. There's been times where people have been offended because I didn't respond to their need. I've just learned to live my life now. Father, are we good? Am I doing what you want me to do? Am I listening to your voice? Am I walking in love? And that's actually all that matters. It's all that matters. And you are not on this earth to live for the approval of man. You are on this earth to live for an audience of one. And as long as your heavenly Father approves of what you're doing, what they think of you is none of your business. I want you to pose this question to yourself this week, because I've come to realize that some people, no matter how hard you try, will never be satisfied with your response. They won't, because expectation is always like this, you know. Is there some stress in your life right now? Just ask yourself, that's perhaps there because of a boundary that you haven't placed there strong enough. Just a thought. I want the band to come and join me. Just pondering. Take a breath. And all of these things, look, are convicting for me and all things that I've failed at and struggled with. But here's the last one, and I think this will help you a lot as we close. The fourth myth is, I think it's impossible to achieve balance. I know that's a buzzword in the Western culture. I'm just looking for balance. You ever said that? Lord, help me find balance. I just want to find balance. I want to somehow balance my life where every priority is met and every need is met and every demand is reached. We pray that. But I've come to realize that it's actually an illusion. And actually, I suspect that a lot of the time when we ask God to give us balance, what we are really saying is, God, I want comfort. Think about it. Just think about that. We're looking for comfort. It's carefully disguised craving for comfort. Because when we look for balance, we're saying, I want everything just to fit nicely and fit neatly and give equal priority to everything. And really, it's about comfort. Balance is an illusion. But I want to say to you this morning, this will set some of you free. Balance is not the goal of life. Faithfulness is. Balance is not the goal of life. Faithfulness is. What do I mean by faithfulness? Faithful to the call of God upon your life, faithful to His will. Ephesians 2:10 says, as we finish, it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, I think it's coming up, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, His calling. This is what I've come to realize about living that verse out. There are times when you and I are living out the good works Christ has for us, and it will look unbalanced. It will actually look unbalanced. Sometimes following the call of God is actually a call to get off balance. Because nowhere in the Bible do I see anything other than radical to surrender towards Jesus. It's all of my life. It's not Jesus in this section, family in this section. It's all Jesus. It's whatever you want, Jesus. We live looking for this balanced life. And think about balance for a second. Balance is giving equal proportion and equal weight to everything in your life. That's what balance is. It's giving equal weights to something. Balances. And the problem with trying to give equal weight, this is going to set some of you free this morning. The problem with giving equal weight to everything in your life is there are some seasons that require unproportional focus on something else. There are some seasons of your life that will ask and put a demand on you to focus more on something than something else. You can't do it all in every season. That's why you have to know your season. And whatever it is, be faithful to do whatever it is in the season of life you're in. What someone's service in the house of God looks like in this season is not the same for someone else. It could be a season where right now I've got to put all of my energy into my marriage. All of my focus has got to go into my marriage right now, and that would be being faithful to Christ. It could be a season right now, it's my children. My children need a lot of my focus. They always will. But you know what I'm saying. There might be some other things that you can't do because right now, to be faithful to the call of Christ is to focus on that. That's really important because this expectation to balance everything is actually not scriptural. Be faithful to do what He's calling you to do in this season. Amen? Let's pray. This is just a quipping message this morning, church. I know it's just one of those messages that helps us in life, but I really, really want to set you up, and I really believe God wants to set you up to do life well. It's not His plan and His focus for you to live overwhelmed and strung out and only coping. So by the Spirit of God, I pray right now that you would speak to every person in this room. If there's any of those subconscious myths about life that we are believing, would you show that to us, Holy Spirit? Would you show us where we're trying to avoid stress? Would you show us, God, other areas where we're trying to avoid stress, but you're trying to bring growth from it? Show us, Lord, if we're doing too much. Are we just doing stuff for the sake of doing things, or are we truly building your kingdom? Show us, Holy Spirit, where we haven't set strong enough boundaries with people.